This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
How could it possibly affect you? Top doc Anthony Fauci saying three shots will be the optimal regimen of the vaccination. Wow. So not even an option as far as the booster is concerned, in his opinion, further down the line. And military leaders testifying on the Hill at the Senate Armed Services Committee hearing, the first time senior Defense Department officials have faced those on the Hill publicly since last month's chaotic evacuation from Kabul. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, as we continue to roll through this week, a big part of what's going on is focused in our nation's capital, both with the doomsday scenario of a shutdown and the interesting testimony of several in power militarily when it comes to Afghanistan. And, oh, by the way, that question about China and a call to China when it comes to General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and General Frank McKenzie, chief of the U.S. Senate Command, told the Senate Armed Services Committee that they had both advised the president and his predecessor, President Donald Trump, to keep at least 2,500 American troops in Afghanistan. So Milley said that an accelerated withdrawal risked losing substantial gains made over two decades of fighting in Afghanistan, damaging worldwide credibility for the U.S. and resulting in a complete Taliban takeover or general civil war. Milley revealed during one of the exchanges that it wasn't until August 25th, 10 days after the Taliban swept into the Afghan capital and less than a week before the U.S. military personnel left, that the Joint Chiefs of Staff made the unanimous recommendation to Biden that he withdraw all troops rather than prolong the evacuation beyond the August 31st deadline. A day later, 13 service members and at least 170 Afghans were killed, as we all know and talked about, in a horrible suicide bombing. Biden has highlighted that recommendation to defend his decision to leave Afghanistan without mentioning that it came, yep, only after the Taliban had taken control of Kabul. So Milley also talked about what happened as far as what was reported. He didn't say it specifically, but as far as what was reported by Bob Woodward and his co-author in his book about a phone call to China and whether or not this was what he was supposed to do in as far as the chain of command is concerned. And here is a couple of minutes of, I think, that intriguing moment on the Hill. Take a listen.
My task at that time was to de-escalate. My message again was consistent. Stay calm, steady, and de-escalate. We are not going to attack you. At Secretary of Defense Esper's direction, I made a call to General Lee on 30 October. Eight people sat in that call with me, and I read out the call within 30 minutes of the call ending. On 31 December, the Chinese requested another call with me. The Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Asia Pacific Policy helped coordinate my call, which was then scheduled for 8 January, and he made a preliminary call on 6 January. 11 people attended that call with me, and readouts of this call were distributed to the interagency that same day. Shortly after my call ended with General Lee, I personally informed both Secretary of State Pompeo and White House Chief of Staff Meadows about the call, among other topics. Soon after that, I attended a meeting with Acting Secretary Miller where I briefed him on the call. Later that same day, on 8 January, Speaker of the House Pelosi called me to inquire about the president's ability to launch nuclear weapons. I sought to assure her that nuclear launch is governed by a very specific and deliberate process. She was concerned and made various personal references characterizing the president. I explained to her that the president is the sole nuclear launch authority and he doesn't launch them alone, and that I am not qualified to determine the mental health of the President of the United States. There are processes, protocols, and procedures in place, and I repeatedly assured her that there is no chance of an illegal, unauthorized, or accidental launch. By presidential directive and Secretary of Defense directives, the chairman is part of the process to ensure the president is fully informed when determining the use of the world's deadliest weapons. By law, I am not in the chain of command, and I know that. However, by presidential directive and DOD instruction, I am in the chain of communication to fulfill my legal, statutory role as the president's primary military advisor. After the Speaker Pelosi call, I convened a short meeting in my office with key members of my staff to refresh all of us on the procedures which we practice daily at the action officer level. Additionally, I immediately informed Acting Secretary of Defense Miller Speaker Pelosi's phone call. At no time was I attempting to change or influence the process, usurp authority, or insert myself in the chain of command.
So there are some that think Milley Haig, no matter what he's saying there in that piece and what he said on the Hill, he's incompetent and dishonorable, and there are calls for him to resign or be fired, and he vehemently there defended what happened, saying, as you heard, that he believes that he knew with certainty what he was supposed to do, that Trump, the former president, was not going to attack the Chinese just out of the blue, and that he briefed then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows about the January 8th call shortly after it happened, and Acting Defense Secretary Miller at a meeting about it soon afterwards. Republicans, including Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri, say, obviously he's found himself caught in this political firestorm, and they're saying that he was focused on his image when he should have been paying attention to what was happening in Afghanistan, and he was criticized for appearing with the president, then Donald Trump, after the clearing of the protesters in front of the White House in the summer of 2020, and said afterwards that he regretted his participation. Hawley said in a hearing that was primarily focused on the withdrawal from Afghanistan that it seems to me that you put a high priority on making sure you were favorably portrayed by the D.C. press. Milley said he would welcome a thorough walkthrough of all the events to prove that not only were such contacts routine, but they were also sanctioned and reviewed often by Trump's senior advisors. Wow. It gets even more interesting as we tiptoe through that testimony, if you will, but some of that exploding, of course, because of Bob Woodward and Robert Costa's book, The Washington Post Journalist, and the calls in it that talk about Milley and what he actually said to the Chinese. Meet you on the flip side.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork in Line tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork in Line tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork in Line tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today. Clock. We're talking about that coming up. Once again, Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us here in the beginnings of the final week. Let's face it, in September, hard to believe, right? What happened to September? It just flew by. It didn't fly by, or it didn't look that way. As I watched what was happening during that testimony, the grilling of Milley on the Hill, and not just Milley, but lots of conversation about Afghanistan's withdrawal plan. And what should have happened, what didn't happen, just, of course, the opportunity for anybody in the position at the Senate Arms meeting to grandstand if they wanted to or poke and prod, sometimes in ridiculous directions. But Milley staunchly defended his calls with China, and Milley said point blank to Senator Cotton, yeah, I'm not going to resign. So the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff just disregarded Cotton's suggestion that he should resign due to the handling of Afghanistan, that withdrawal. And he said, as a senior military officer, resigning is a really serious thing. That was part of that testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee. He says, political act. So if I'm resigning in protest, that's one thing. My statutory responsibility is to provide legal advice or the best military advice to the president. That's my, he said that many times, that's my legal requirement. That's what the law is. The president doesn't have to agree with the advice. He doesn't have to make those decisions just because we're generals. You know, so much of that hearing really zoned in on Milley and General Frank McKenzie's advocation of a U.S. troop presence in Afghanistan. But that advocation of a troop presence contradicts what President Biden said in an interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, where he insisted, because he was point blank asked about that, that his military advisors did not warn against leaving Afghanistan. because Stephanopoulos point blank said, because we were all appalled by the chaotic scenes that we saw, people who died trying to hang onto a plane in the very beginning of the withdrawal of the troops from Afghanistan, of getting the people out, etc., who fell to their deaths, and then ultimately what happened and led to 13 Americans being killed. Stephanopoulos said they didn't tell you that they wanted troops to stay. Biden said no, not at all in terms of whether we were going to get out in a time frame all troops. They didn't argue against that. So when Milley was pressed from Cotton, he said, I understand that you're the principal military advisor, that you advise, you don't decide, the president decides, but if all this is true, why haven't you resigned? And Milley said that it would be an incredible act of political defiance for a commissioned officer to resign because of his advice not being taken, that the country doesn't want generals figuring out what orders we're going to accept and do not. That's not our job. Milley, by the way, ended all of this by saying that as long as his orders came from a civilian authority and operated within the bounds of the law, he would carry them out. So there was the focus on the China question, which he addressed head on and said that that he did not think that Donald Trump mental state should have been questioned and that he was acting behind his back. And then, of course, the piece of the Afghanistan withdrawal, which was the reason, really, for the, you know, for the hearing. And it's, again, it is interesting because you absolutely have lots of people that are calling for Milley to go. And then he's got defenders saying that he was doing what he was supposed to do in his role. So there's some interesting takeaways from that Senate hearing on Afghanistan. I mean, I think very interesting takeaways as I was watching to see how the White House responded. And the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, on Tuesday defended the president and said, without getting into specifics, that he received diverse recommendations from advisors and also said that the risks associated with remaining in Afghanistan, the war with the Taliban and more U.S. casualties were just too high for Biden, and that the U.S. would have had to surge more troops to the country in order to stay militarily involved. And she said 5 years from now, we could have had 2,500 troops that would be sustainable. There was no one who said that. The episode, I think, of what happened there undercuts Biden's credibility in the public, and Republicans, of course, could seize on that discrepancy, accusing the current president of lying to the public because of that interview with George Stephanopoulos and how he was pressed about that. Because, again, this was the thing that we all were appalled by, was the chaotic scenes that we saw, and of course, the loss here at the very end of this one, it shouldn't have happened, of young military lives and Afghan people who helped us, frankly, while we were in Afghanistan, and the idea that we were leaving people behind and then kind of scooping up those that could get away, and what an awful blunder that was, the way strategically that was executed. You know, so in his opening remarks, he automatically was back on his heels, Milley, where he talked about, you know, defending the calls with his Chinese counterpart during the waning months of the Trump administration. He said he acted on concerning intelligence, indicating the Chinese were afraid the U.S. would attack them and that he had a responsibility to work to de-escalate. You heard that word at the very beginning. When I pitched that in that last segment, that piece I wanted you to hear, de-escalate the situation, that was his job, stay calm, steady, and de-escalate. And that was it. I don't think the fever over wanting him to resign is going to die down anytime soon, but it's unlikely, unless Biden were to make a move, that he would move from the current position. And Milley said, basically, as the Afghanistan part of it was wrapping up, that it's still too early to tell what effect the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan had on the terror threat against the United States. And that his personal estimate is it could be 12, you know, months, could be a year as we watch to see what kind of indicators happen if, in fact, there is some kind of retribution for what happened in Afghanistan and just the Taliban in general being back in power and being emboldened and perhaps going after the United States in some sort of an attack. Yeah. In the meantime, as we debate that, and certainly for many of you, when I go to the mailbag, I'll rip that open. But there was a lot of conversation about what you think should happen with Milley and who should answer for that chaotic withdrawal of the troops in Afghanistan, still stinging many. And then the whole nonsense of China. And I say nonsense because this was blown open by a book and the push to make the book sell, and that's exactly what happens, that there's got to be some salacious piece of information. And so now, of course, you have a conflicting way of hearing it presented, that, oh, this is normal, we have this conversation, but in the book it sounds much different than that with what Bob Woodward and his co-author wrote, making it certainly the interpretation seem as though, nope, he's off his rocker, Trump is gone, we're having this conversation with the Chinese counterpart to reassure them nothing's going to happen, and telling them we will absolutely let them know if something changes with his mental condition, meaning Milley would do that, which certainly I would think would be going against your own leader, your own country. Different the way the chessboard is set up in having normal conversations, in trying to have a stake in doing what you're supposed to do in an information highway that is transparent. It certainly didn't seem that way by what the reports were, so it's not surprising that absolutely there are people that are saying this isn't right. So if he is in that position, he needs to get out of the way. But he made it clear he is absolutely not resigning, and he absolutely is being portrayed incorrectly in the media. But certainly somebody, as far as the way the withdrawal in Afghanistan, that piece of it is, and this administration, somebody is manipulating the truth about that debacle. There's no question about that. Clock is ticking next.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dorey, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
It's a big week for the Biden administration as Democrats try wrangling key pieces of President Biden's agenda through Congress. in face of steep Republican opposition. The latest blow to the White House came on Monday when Senate Republicans blocked a bill that would have funded the government and averted a default in U.S. debts. Senate Minority Leader Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell on Tuesday criticizes his Democratic colleagues.
If Democrats want to use fast-track party-line procedures to ram through trillions more in inflationary socialism, they'll have to use the same tools to handle the debt limit.
Richard Stafford, an attorney for Gabby Petito's family, is asking her missing fiancé to turn himself in. Stafford added Brian Laundrie's family didn't help them find Petito, and they won't help find him. USA Radio News. Busy day on Capitol Hill as Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen also testifying before the Senate Banking Committee after Senate Republicans blocked the bill to keep the United States government funded. Yellen says it would be detrimental to many Americans, including senior citizens and troops, if the debt ceiling is not raised.
It would be disastrous for the American economy, for global financial markets, and for millions of families and workers whose financial security would be jeopardized by delayed payments.
Yellen adding that waiting until the last minute to raise the debt ceiling can undermine confidence in financial markets and credit worthiness of the United States. Jared Ramos, the man who killed five people at a Maryland newspaper, will spend the rest of his life in prison. Ramos, given multiple life sentences without the possibility of parole Tuesday, more than 3 years after the deadly murders at the Capitol Gazette. USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Congress better act fast. You hear that rickety clock. Yeah, and that's why it's like that. It's only until Thursday that they got the chance to raise the debt limit. And if they don't, then what happens? Social Security checks, some flights, some other things would be affected by a government shutdown. I've definitely jumped on a big soapbox many times about this, that how ridiculous it is that this consistently happens to us as a nation that is represented by we the people that we elect, to do, of all things, look at what's happening budgetarily and figure out a way to fund those suckers before we get our backs against the wall again and again and again and again. But it seems to be a repeated pattern. But the Democrats are scrambling, that's for sure, to extend funding for the federal government. It's less than 72 hours now to avoid a shutdown with negotiations at a complete standstill, stalemate, whatever adjective you want to throw in there. Even the president canceled a planned trip to Chicago, focusing on the budget talks. A possible shutdown would happen at the start of the fiscal year. That would be on Friday if a bill to fund the government doesn't pass both the House and the Senate. So it's got to go through both chambers. Senate Republicans set this up. They blocked the Dems' effort to combine government funding with an increase in the amount the country can borrow. The debt limit, which the country will hit in about mid-October, is another big crisis. Democrats say it's irresponsible to block an increase in the debt limit, but the Republicans are saying they've got to approve it on their own. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell proposed on Monday to vote on government funding alone without an increase in the debt limit, but he needed unanimous consent to debate the proposal, and the Democrats said, yeah, we're not going to do that. So nobody's agreeing on anything, and we've got the debt crisis looming, so that could lead to default. Would that set off panic? You have Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen telling Congress on Tuesday the country would reach the limit on the 18th of October and saying that you've got to protect the full faith and credit of the country as soon as possible. That's what you got to do. You got to focus on that, or it could lead to other financial breakdowns. So you bet there's no Biden plane headed to Chicago, because there's no safety nets here. These negotiations on infrastructure, all of that is just kind of hanging in the balance. But infrastructure seems like one thing compared to what else is being wrestled with, and what, again, does it mean if you've first you look at the debt ceiling, but if the government shuts down, that's the first piece of the crises that's looming. And if there is the government shutdown, what does that mean for Social Security checks with a government that is not fully operational? And there are people listening to the show, I guarantee it, that need those checks. And what else would be affected by it? What other benefits? Well, Social Security, SNAP, VA benefits, by the way. I know there are plenty of veterans who listen, thanks for your service, who desperately need what they're getting. But now that this hasn't passed, and now that the debate with no end in sight in this tug of war continues, it looks like if there isn't that compromise and there's no proposal or scenario where this get solved somehow, then when you look at, like I said, supplemental nutrition assistance programs, Social Security, veterans benefits, what does that, mean? Mandatory spending. See, there's two types, we know this, of spending in the federal government: mandatory spending and discretionary. Mandatory spending is that spending that's required for specific programs. The remaining money in the federal budget is the discretionary funds. Usually it makes up about 30% of the national budget. So every year we go through this. Congress must pass budget legislation and has 12 appropriation bills that fund programs for the next fiscal year, which starts on October 1st, which is why that clock was ticking when we dove into this segment. But none of the bills have passed. So if they're not passed or in their place, there's no continuing resolution, it's not enacted, then the agencies that have to depend on those funds, which of course they do, would shut down. So that means all non-essential discretionary functions without a funding bill passed and signed into law by the president, that means that they would be hit. So what are discretionary funds that are deemed essential services? And the essential services will continue, but the ones that aren't, then that's a different thing. So the CR, we get back to that CR situation, the continuing resolution. So it can fund the government for days, weeks, months. A CR that passed the House last week would have funded the government through December 3rd. It would pass if it passes the Senate, and then would have to be signed by the president. The Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, is the one who's watching and wiggling on the hook, because this, again, would trigger things that would affect what she would have to talk about and has talked about with the debt limit and, of course, the first deal of funding the government. But the government wouldn't be able to pay for purchases or other financial or federal, really, obligations. So the U.S., by the way, if you're curious about this, and I think we know this, there's always that threat, but there's always been the Band-Aid that has been put in place. The U.S. has never defaulted on its debts. So this affects you and I. I say this show is all about that. What happens in your backyard, my backyard, doesn't matter if our accents or where we live in the country, it affects all of us. So because of that record, the country can borrow money at low rates, right? And every agency, by the way, in the government, if there was a shutdown, would have its own plan of what to do. Whether an agency furloughs the federal employees during a shutdown depends on how they're funded. With mandatory funding, though, they would stay open. And then it would fall under discretionary funding. Some of it, then it would be closed, and employees would be sent home. If it's an agency with mandatory funding, it stays open. Again, I'll say that. But if it falls under the umbrella of discretionary funding, boom, it's probably closed, and the employees go home. Unless they have essential duties that have to do with public safety, like law enforcement, air traffic control, that's big, and maintenance of the power grid. Oh, please, please keep paying them and let them stay. Except for that's the thing. The employees come to work, but they're not paid to be there. In the past, they get the pay after a resolution is passed, so they get the back pay. Oh, that would just really add insult to injury, wouldn't it? Social Security checks, by the way, I double, triple, quadruple checked this. Still delivered if there's a shutdown. But if you had, if you're in the middle of the process and you have to do that Benny's verification thing, that would all be put on hold until the shutdown's over. Medicare services would continue unless it dragged on for a long amount of time. Veterans care services, that kind of stuff, that would continue. So you would continue to get payments from the VA. The Postal Service would still, mail would still be delivered because that's an independent agency. Air travel, that would be the work during the shutdown, but they would be working without pay, which I've been through that. That's always great when you have the poor TSA people come in and they're not getting paid. So you can imagine the shakedown as you crawl through security. You know, and then you look at COVID-19 and what we're battling. So an agency shutdown would mean, and I just read something in Reuters about this, that 62% of the employees at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control probably could be furloughed, right? Not all, but there would certainly be some that would be furloughed. And we certainly don't want to see the government shut down in the middle of a pandemic, right? That wouldn't be the best, no matter how you look at it, right? The IRS, oh, yes, the three dreaded letters, the Internal Revenue Service, they would furlough the majority of their employees, but some would have to stay to process, you know, would stay to process what they can when it comes to tax returns, because we're kind of in always in the throes of that. And I already talked about national parks the other day. They would be closed during the 2018-2019 shutdown. Most of the parks were open, but they didn't have visitor services, right? SNAP, which is vital for some, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, is mandatory, but often there's only benefits for 30 days after a shutdown begins. And that's, of course, more commonly known as what we would call the food stamp program. All right, so you're up to date on that. So whatever little chunk of what I said there that may affect you, I think you know what would happen, where you would be plugged into this, because Social Security, that's exactly what people are thinking about, and whose checks are processed and what happens. And the answer is some people would absolutely be affected by it if you were in the process. If you were already getting checks, you would, of course, most likely be fine, unless it was a little bit slow to get to you, depending on how many people were processing. And so it goes. The clock continues to tick, 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 tick. I don't know. If I were a betting person, what do you think? Is the government going to be shut down by the time we get to Friday, or will there be some kind of a Band-Aid put in place? Big power play on the Hill. Nothing unusual. Dems versus the Republicans. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than Sunny-Bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come at a wide variety of uses, apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Well, we got a lot of mail, so I'm not going to grandstand here. I'm just going to dive into our virtual mail. And we got this first one up from Jacob, and Jacob says, "Hey, Kate Delaney, I have been listening to the show. I know you hear this. Sometimes people say, long-time listener, first-time caller, first time I've emailed you. It is the first time I've emailed you, and I have to say I caught you on 920 in the desert, as you call it, in Palm Springs. And I was listening to some of what you were talking about that was fascinating about what was happening, the inner workings of what was going on prior to the inauguration this year. And now, as I continue down this journey with you, it's so ridiculous, the two-sided conversations or the maybe one-sided conversations, depending on what the issue is, that you see coming out of Washington, D.C. And why is it that it's just this constant showdown on everything between the Democrats and the Republicans? And for God's sake, why would you threaten people's livelihoods, the little people, if you will, in positions, let's face it, that are not the positions of power when it comes to some of the government jobs that people would have to do and do without pay if there was a government shutdown? And one of them is what happens at the airport. Why would you want the people that shake us down to be more emboldened to not be happy when they probably barely make ends meet to be encouraged, I think, to feel as though they really don't want to be at work and could even use what I call the power grab even more on any of us across the United States as we cross the threshold into an airport. I like how you say that, cross the threshold into an airport. I have been there. I have been there, Mr. J, when we had one of the longest government shutdowns. I was flying a bunch and, oh, you could just see it. And I thought to myself, yeah, have you ever worked where you weren't getting paid and you needed the pay? Oh, you'll get back pay, don't worry. But then you're waiting on back pay. Waiting on back pay doesn't pay groceries, doesn't pay mortgages, doesn't pay daycares, none of that. Doesn't pay the electric bill. It doesn't work. Again, IOU. Hey, my job, which is through the federal government, they can't pay us right now, but we have to show up. And we got to stop bad guys from getting through the checkpoints at airports. That's what we're supposed to do, detect anything that is off. No motivation. That's what I found. There was not a lot of motivation, and frankly, I get it. You know, I understand it. So, yeah, it wouldn't be good to see a government shutdown, but I go to the frustration of why do we constantly end up in this pickle, right? You know what's coming toward the end of the fiscal year. You know it, right? And, of course, we live in unprecedented times. I get it with the pandemic, but I don't think you can shove this on the pandemic. I don't. I think it is just squarely political, period. That's it. You and I don't see eye to eye, so screw it. We're not going to cooperate. And we don't believe in what you're trying to pass because you're trying to shove some other things into bills just to get them through and tee it all up. So that's the thing. I do believe eventually if it gets bad enough, they'll come up with something that's happened before. So we may go into a government shutdown and then a week or two into it, or maybe even before that, it gets solved and only solved with a Band-Aid. And then you have the whole debt limit thing. And what could that do to the economy depending on what happens there? Yeah. All right. This one is from Thomas. Hi, Kate. I haven't had a chance to email you in a while, but rest assured when I can, I am listening to the show. And boy, there are so many things that I want to talk about. And I guess the thing that I wanted to mention is just how literally how insane it is to see what happened in Del Rio and to think of those people, as I've lived in a border town, who were overrun by all those Haitian migrants. And I don't blame them for trying to run for the hills and get out of a horrific situation. And I just think it highlights the need to have more controls at our borders and to be able to really handle some sort of a big flow. Because what do you do when you get crushed that way? You get the Border Patrol taking the blame. You get crazy pictures of Border Patrol agents on horseback who are trying to just ensure that people are in an area and it looks terrible. The optics get people suspended and maybe even fired. And I think the Border Patrol bears the brunt of it and gets thrown under the bus, and they shouldn't be thrown under the bus. You got to figure out something that works at these crossing areas, and that's why they had to move the crossing area, because there were too many people that were under the bridge looking pulled off, making it an even worse situation and more of a humanitarian crisis. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with what I say. Absolutely. It's the same old song that we keep saying. This is, if you listened to me 15 years ago, we were talking about this. Different group, maybe not so many in one area, but we, again, yes, you know, we have talked about it over and over and over again. It's another one of those pass the tough part of immigration on because I don't want to deal with it. Because here's the thing. What is the motivation for a politician or especially the people around the politician? I'm not trying to be completely cynical. I know, honestly, there are some good politicians. Or there are those that start with pure heart, a heart of service, but then it turns into something else, right? And ultimately, the machine and the methods of the madness is get elected, and get reelected and reelected. And how do you get reelected? You've got to play to what you think the constituents want to hear. But I think all of us, regardless of what you label yourself as politically, are frustrated. I mean, those images just really were a boiling point for the Haitian people who pushed through. But it shows the frustration of how it's handled at the border. And how do we look when you have that chaos that breaks out? And you have people that have to be at their wit's end. If I was a Border Patrol agent, that's another thankless job, right? What is the object of being what is a Border Patrol agent get to do that they love? Is it helping other people? Is it protecting the borders? Is it a combination of both? Is it showing the humanitarian side of being able to push back on what sometimes is unfair? I mean, there's so much more that goes into it. We'll do a show where if I can persuade a friend of mine who's been a longtime Border Patrol agent to come on, we'll talk to him about it. But I see what happens, and it doesn't ever seem to be any kind of a walk in the park to me, that's for sure. All right, let's go to this one from Chris. And Chris says, hey, Kate, did you see, because, you know, so many people are talking about investing in marijuana or crypto or what is the future going to hold, did you see that Chris Webber is opening a cannabis compound in Detroit? And I think with his name and with what he can provide, it will probably be very successful. I agree. He announced that he's going to do that compound, like you said, in Detroit. They're calling it the Weber Wellness Compound, and they broke ground on Tuesday. So a marijuana operations, a training facility, a cultivation facility, a dispensary, a cannabis consumption lounge. So, you know, Weber was pushing for this to happen, and they made it happen. So he says it's his biggest priority in life. You know, it comes on the heels of a $100 million private equity cannabis fund created by Weber and some of his friends, launched back in February to help invest in business and brands in the black community, which is where he is there in Detroit. On that note, it's a wrap. Send me your thoughts day or night, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Thanks to Jeremy Paulson for his fine work on the technicals and all of you for listening to this hour of the show.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.